Father, it's such a great privilege to be upstanding this morning once again. We acknowledge your grace, your favor, and your goodness upon us. And we want to offer you our attention as you prepare to speak to us. Lord, we pray that you will bless our hearts and you will meet our needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a honor and a privilege for me to be once again standing here to speak from the Lord. If you have your Bible with you, I would like to invite you to open it with me. We are going to do two main readings. The first one is in 1 Peter chapter 1, first letter of Peter chapter 1, verse 11 down to 16. And then we are going to do the second reading in Ephesians chapter 5, and then we'll read from verse 25 through 27. Yes, 1 Peter. Okay, let me read from verse 11. This is what the Bible says. Yeah, let me read from verse 15. But like the one who called you, become but like the Holy One who called you, become holy yourselves in all your conduct. Verse 16, it is written, you shall be holy because I am holy. And if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, leave out the time of your temporary residence here in reverence. Hallelujah. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, to sanctify her by cleansing her with the washing of the water by the word, so that he may present the church to himself as glorious, not having a stain or wrinkle or any such blemish, but holy and blameless. Hallelujah. This morning, I would like to discuss or to share with you about the call to holiness. The call to holiness. When I remember my childhood, if you ask me what is the best representation of my childhood, or if you ask me to give you a snapshot of my best moment in my childhood, it will probably be something like the picture that I asked the media team to project to you. Yes. To me, this picture is not mine, I borrowed it, but it's a fair representation of the best moment of my childhood. It was a moment of freedom, and it was a moment of joy. And I remember when we used to play football, we used to play most of the time during the dry season. And as you know, for those who are familiar with the dry season in the city of Kinshasa, it's a season where the city is covered with dust. It doesn't rain, and there's dust everywhere. And we will play football from morning to evening. And after playing football, and I was supposed to take a cold shower in the dry season. And this was the last thing I wanted as a child. And for many of us, our spiritual journey looks like this moment of my childhood. When Jesus Christ was praying to his Father in John 17, when he's praying for the church, one of the things he asked his Father was, he said, Father, sanctify them with your word. Your word is the truth. Sanctify them with the truth. And the book of Ephesians, the passage in Ephesians that we've read, it says that Jesus Christ uses the water, which is his word, to cleanse and to sanctify his bridegroom, his church, his spouse. And when the Lord says in 1 Peter that we've read, be holy, just as I, your Father, is holy, the Lord is actually calling us, he's calling us to a better state, to a state to resemble him, to be clean. It's actually a good thing that God is calling us to. But amazingly, just like I was in my childhood, I hated water. I really did. And today, when you preach about holiness like I'm doing today, it's quite a very difficult task because we have this word holiness resonates very differently with us today. I don't know about you. I don't know how the word holiness resonates with you. But for many, many, many Christians today, the word holiness resonates like a negative word, like a killjoy. When you are asked to preach about holiness, and if you were told today that the sermon will be on holiness, I'm pretty much sure that some of us, you have your mood changed. Because this is not the topic that gives us excitement. It's not the kind of message in which you come out of the message with a lot of amen, praise the Lord. No. When we preach about holiness, it's like we are pulling people down. Yes, people don't feel uplifted. It's not the kind of message that gives you joy. Why? Because you know, I know, that when God starts speaking about holiness, I need to get ready to be rebuked. So because of that, the word holiness resonates like a negative word. It resonates like something restrictive. When I'm preached or taught about holiness, it means that I'm going to deprive myself from a lot of things that I like. I need to put aside my enjoyment. I need to stop. Sometimes there are people even wonder whether they should fulfill their legitimate needs or desires just because we are not sure whether it matches with the requirements of holiness. It's like we are forbidden to enjoy life simply because we have to pursue holiness. And sometimes holiness resonates like discriminatory in the church because some people feel judged. You are going to preach about holiness. This is not an inclusive message. If you want to have everybody in the boat, don't preach about holiness. Because some people will feel left out. Hallelujah. This is how this word holiness resonates with many of us today. Yet the Lord says, you shall be holy because I am holy. Hallelujah. So is there anything wrong with holiness or with the way we preach about holiness? Why is holiness so unpopular? Not among unbelievers. I'm speaking about Christian circles. Why is holiness so unpopular? One of the reasons why holiness is so unpopular is because we have become very, very sensitive to new messages. We have become hypersensitive to new things. When a preacher comes on pulpit, we all expect something we've never heard of. We all expect insightful statements, things that are going to trigger our mind or provoke our mind. We have become very, very sensitive. And because of that, holiness is not a new thing. You have it all over the Bible. It's a very old message. And because of that, holiness has lost its interest among Christians. Another reason is because we have become so much addicted to success. Believers want success. We want to thrive in life. We want a better situation economically, financially, relationship-wise. We want success. We want health. We want to feel better. That's all we want. But holiness does not guarantee you will be successful. Because of that, we have lost our interest. It has become an unpopular message. If you want to preach somewhere and you want to make sure that you are not called twice, preach about holiness. Holiness has also become unpopular because we oppose it to authenticity. We somehow think that if you are preaching or pursuing holiness, you have to give up your authenticity. When a person is pursuing holiness, he can't be at the same time authentic with himself. It's like an authentic person has to yield to his desire. You have to live up to your desire to be authentic. And holiness means you have to live somehow a borrowed life. I've heard even Christians, when you ask them, what will Jesus do in your situation? They say, no, Jesus was God. Me, I'm a man. I'm just human. I have to live as a human. God knows I'm a human. Don't ask me to live an ideal life disconnected from reality. It's like pursuing holiness is disconnecting ourselves from the reality. And sometimes I hear Christians say, no, bro, let's be realistic. Let's be concrete. What you are saying, it's okay, but let's be authentic. But who says God is calling us to something non-authentic or unrealistic? Why did Jesus come on earth to live a human kind of life if holiness is something that we cannot pursue or even achieve? This is the problem that we have as a church. Yet the Lord says, be holy because I am holy. But when God calls us to holiness, what does he really mean? Is he asking you and I to something that is impossible? Is he giving us a mission impossible? What does God mean when he says, be holy? Is God trying to kill your joy? Is God against you? Because sometimes that's how it feels. Is really God asking us to do something that is, from the beginning, it's impossible? What does God mean when he calls us to holiness? The first thing, brothers and sisters, I want to invite you to consider is that this call to holiness is not a call to a one-time state that we have to achieve suddenly. No, God is calling us to a journey, to a process. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church of Rome. He says that, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He speaks about holiness as a process a process of transformation. It's a gradual process. What God expects you and I to say, yes, I'm going into this journey with you, Lord. Hallelujah. That is the first thing that God is calling us to. Come, my child, come, my daughter, my son. Come into this journey. I'm going to make you better. I've already provided. I've showed you what it looks like to be a holy person. And you can see it from my son, Jesus Christ. And I've paid the price. I've provided. I've paid the price on the cross. And I've given you the power, which is my spirit. Hallelujah. Just come and accept to join this process. The second thing the Lord is saying when he calls us to holiness, God is actually saying that it is my spirit that will lead the process. My spirit, not you. It's not all on you. Because I know that within you, there is nothing good whatsoever. But by my spirit, it's not by might. Hallelujah. But it is by my spirit. I am the Lord who will do it. I will lead the process. You will have to follow me. You have to learn to listen to me, to discern my voice, to trust me. Hallelujah. In this journey, it means in other ways, in other terms, you are not alone in this process. Hallelujah. I know you don't have the power to please me. That is why I've put my spirit in you. And my spirit in you is not on holiday. No, my spirit in you is transforming you. Hallelujah. It's changing you. The problem is when we come to the Lord Jesus, we come just as we are. Yes, but we want to stay as we are. God is not calling us to remain as we are. He's calling us to be changed. And he knows that he has the power to bring about or to bring out that change. The third thing that God is calling us, or what God means when he calls us to holiness, when God calls us to holiness, he wants to remind us at the same time that progress in this journey depends on our genuine repentance. Why? Because on the way to holiness, on the way to resembling our God, we are partnering with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are things that God will do because it is beyond our capacity. But the only thing God expects from you and I is a repentant heart. Because God cannot lead you against your will. Hallelujah. God will not lead you against your will. At some point, God will need you to say, yes, yes, I accept to put aside my pride or to put aside what I know, to put aside my understanding, to put aside my capacity. I accept your word, even if I don't understand it. I accept to be led by you. Hallelujah. So, brothers and sisters, when God calls us to holiness, what he actually means, please, my daughter, please, my son, be ready. Be ready to turn away from yourself. Because the biggest obstacle to God's working or to the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, in our lives, it is us. The last thing that I want to mention that God means when he says, be holy. What God means is that Jesus, holiness is actually what Jesus died for. God paid the highest price to make us beautiful, to present us to himself. In as much as I desire success, good health, and so on, just like you. But let's remember, brothers and sisters, if Jesus Christ paid the highest price on the cross, it wasn't to make us financially prosper. I often say to my students, if you want to be financially prosper, take financial education classes. You can take financial education classes. You don't need to be born again to be successful financially. And I've seen many, in fact, the top 10 of the wealthiest of the world are not born again Christians. So it can't be for that reason that God or Jesus paid the highest price on the cross. Hallelujah. Jesus paid the highest price for things that are eternal, things that will remain, things that have eternal value. And God knows there is something in you that has eternal value, even if you don't see it. But he went ahead of us, and he provided for that, and he paid the price. Hallelujah. Now he says, I've paid the price. I've made the provision. You've got to trust me to lead you in this process. Hallelujah. Unlike the cold water that I really hate in my childhood, this word of the Lord may come to you as this cold water in the dry season. But let me tell you something. After the washing, there is no such a greater joy, hallelujah, than being blameless in the presence of the Lord, free in the presence of the Lord, clean in the presence of the Lord, hallelujah. And I wish, I pray that each of you here this morning online, you'll experience this joy in the name of Jesus. God bless you.